The following was at Snow Hill, Maryland, Wednesday night, September the 23rd, 1970.
Thank you. May we turn to page 146. Hymn 360. My soul, take courage from the Lord, believe and plead his holy word. To him alone do thou complain, nor shalt thou seek his face in vain. We'll sing without further reading, page 146, hymn 360.
My soul,
trust, my brethren and friends, that we are each one thankful that our God has so blessed us in this country that we, as God directs, are enabled to gather ourselves together, as the brethren said years and years ago, under our own vine and fig tree, and there to worship our God as he dictates in his spirit or by his spirit. So Son, that so that none dare to molest or make us afraid. I am concerned, and I hope that you're concerned, that as we come together, that our thoughts and our desires and our prayer unto our God is, that he will make manifest himself in his spirit in our poor hearts. I come, as I was thinking while the brother was in prayer, that we come before the greatest people in all the world. A people who have been quickened to the knowledge of the truth. A people who have been so blessed that they have no confidence in their flesh. A people whom we may safely say, as the apostle said, the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face or in the person of Jesus Christ. Without that shining in our hearts, giving us the knowledge of the glory of God, we can never know anything of God's glory, of his power, of his mercy, of his long suffering. We cannot know anything at all in truth and in reality of the great God of heaven. I feel that we, each one of us, are oftentimes aware of the fact that God himself in his word has laid down the way in which he shall be worshipped. Think of that for a moment. The Lord, our Savior, said that the hour is coming, and now is, when they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. For God seeketh such to worship him as do worship him in spirit and in truth. I thought of the epistle of Jude, the first two verses, or the first three verses perhaps, and how greatly and how wonderfully it applies to the Lord's people in every age of the world, as much today and will continue to be tomorrow, as it was in the day that Jude wrote this general epistle. He said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation," this is in the third verse of the only chapter in Jude, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints." There was a necessity of this, and he gives the reason why it was necessary, that as he is described or described himself, a servant of God, his brother James, "Unto them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called." I think we realize that the whole book, the whole Bible, the whole scripture, all the scriptures are written, and I'm bold to say, because it's true, unto the Lord's people and them alone. I read here to Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus and called. Now those are the ones that Jude was writing to. Peter, James, John, the others wrote unto those who have obtained like precious faith with us. And I feel that as we are given grace and the Spirit of God to understand these things, I feel that these things are written directly unto those whom the Lord has opened their eyes, and they behold the beauty of the glorious things that God has revealed unto his people. But now the reason that Jude gave all diligence to write unto them of the common salvation, and by the way, the common salvation was not just something which was degraded or something which was of no value, but it was of the salvation which was common among, to, for all the household of faith, so that one church here in this country and over in that country, or wherever they may be, they each one, having been taught of the Lord, had the same doctrine, the same faith, and it is described as the common salvation. So that as we expect, by the grace of God, that as we go to one of the Lord's congregations, the Lord's people, churches, who are blessed with the Spirit of God to know the truth, we expect to hear the truth over there. We expect to hear the truth here. We expect to hear the truth at Forest Grove. We expect to hear the truth in Salisbury. We expect to hear the truth here in Snow Hill. This is common among all of us. Now the reason why that he gave diligence and felt to write, he said, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God in our Lord Jesus Christ. It was so in that day that saw that one of the other writers admonished the brethren to try the spirits, whether they are of God or not. And I feel because of the working of the Spirit of God in our hearts, that we who are given, if we are not deceived in the matter, that we are given the witness within, that we are enabled by the grace of God to determine these spirits of certain men who have crept in unawares, men who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. I am glad to read, I am glad to see, and more than that, I am glad to find that the Scriptures uphold this thought, that it matters not who it may be that brings these ungodly doctrines, untruthful doctrines, that they did not do that outside of the eternal will and the purpose of God. Because we believe, according to the Scriptures, as we are taught in the Scriptures, that our God has complete control over all times, all circumstances, all events, everything he has control over. So that these who brought in doctrines which they brought into the church unawares, that they were before of all ordained to this condemnation. In other words, those who were not blessed to preach the gospel as it is in Jesus Christ our Lord, they did not know. They did not, and they do not know today, the truth as it is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so the apostle here, Jude here, was given, as he said, give all diligence to write unto you the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Not just any faith, because there are many kinds of faith in the world, but this faith that was once delivered unto this age. I trust we can bear that in mind. I have another scripture over here that I looked up that I would like to read back in the Old Testament. And it's written by Jeremiah, and it's in the 26th chapter. I'd like to read two verses, I believe, the first two verses in the 26th chapter of Jeremiah. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying, now I call your attention that Jeremiah said, this came this word from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. I want to read that again. I begin at the second verse. Thus saith the Lord to Jeremiah, as he was speaking unto these people, stand in the Lord, in the court to the Lord's house, telling him where to stand, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them, and diminish not a word. It sounds to me like, brethren, while it is not true, a scripture, that it is certainly true that we should speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You remember, I'm sure, with me, that the Lord commanded Moses when he was up in the mount. He commanded him to see that thou makest all things according to the pattern shown thee in the mount. And you'll find that Moses made everything very, very minutely, and I shall say exactly, as the Lord commanded him. Had he not made these things as the Lord commanded him, they could not have been typical. They could not have been types of the very thing that God was delivering unto Judah, unto his people in that day. Because had they not been so minutely exactly as the Lord gave Moses and Aaron in their day, then as it came down into the day of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he could not have fulfilled those things unless they were exactly as God determined and as God gave unto Moses and to all of those people under that ceremonial worship back there. Now we come a little further down, or quite a bit further down, and we will find that the Lord himself, as he was preaching unto the brethren, and I looked this up a moment ago too, he was preaching unto them after the resurrection. And as he was just before his ascension into heaven in immortal glory to be with his Father, he said unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We would notice very particularly, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you all the way, with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. So, my brethren and friends, it is so very important, as we are given to think about it, that we, as we are blessed with the Spirit of our God, that we freely preach all things whatsoever the Lord has commanded us. Now there may be things that we do not understand, of course. There may be things that we don't believe, of course, which are plainly spoken of in the Scripture. But who could be a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, a faithful servant of God, if we, just because we don't believe it, refuse to preach it? Think about it for a moment. There are many things that we read that we do not understand. But I am so blessed, I hope I can say blessed, of our God, that while I confess that there are so many dozens or hundreds of things in the Scriptures that I do not understand, but I have never, my brethren, felt that I could deny a single one of them, whether I understood it or not. Because sometimes it may be God's will to open up these things to us. And I'm sure your experience has been that He does open up these things. Do you ever read the Bible seemingly without any understanding at all? Does it seem like that it is so jumbled up and mixed up that I can't understand it? But then at other times, it looks like that you look at the very same Scripture and there's something there that you'd never seen before. The Lord is the one that opens it up. He's the one that reveals it. And you might study day and night, week after week and week after week, without that Spirit of God, without that revelation, you will never understand these wonderful and glorious things of our God. Now, when He said to teach them to observe all things, not just some of the things, but all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now you remember that Jesus said also, just before He was betrayed, just before He was crucified, He told the brethren, knowing as He knew what the will of the Father was, perfectly willing to do the work the Father sent Him to do, and He said unto the brethren, many of you will be offended of Me this night. He told them, I go away. They could not understand why He meant, why He said that He would go away. But I go away. But if I go away, I'll come again. You notice He said, I'll come again. But if I go away, I will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And He, that is the Holy Spirit, shall take the things of Mine and show them to you. Now when Peter said, in replying to the Savior, Peter speaking for the brethren apparently, the Lord said unto him, but whom do ye say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, I've always rejoiced when I have read this. I would say I do, not always, because I read it sometimes and it doesn't mean anything. But I rejoice, my brethren, in the answer that Jesus gave to Peter. He did not commend Peter for believing. He did not commend him in any sense whatsoever. But He merely said, and so wonderfully and so powerfully said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but My Father which is in heaven. And so, the only thing that you know, the only thing that I know, the only thing that the Lord's people know, are the things which are revealed to them by the Spirit of God. Now that's the only way. We cannot read, we cannot by dint of study, we cannot by natural learning or understanding in nature, we cannot understand the things of our God. They must be given to us by the revelation of our God. They must come to us from heaven. They must come to us and take deep root in our very being. Otherwise, we do not know anything about them. We cannot rejoice in them. And they will not mean anything to us or to anyone unto whom we are speaking. And so, my brethren, I've thought so many times and wondered how that those who I whom I consider to be intelligent men and women, those who certainly could, many could take a legal document and read it and understand what it says and all of its ins and outs and the various legal terms that are used, they can understand that. They can read various things that been right. But when it comes to reading the scriptures, there is something there, my brethren, that stands between our natural understanding and the truth as it is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that has been quickened and who has been made to know that he in himself there is nothing good, that he was dead in trespasses and in sins, and he that has been born of the Spirit, because it to be, if you will think about it for a moment to see whether you will agree with me or not, that all the children of God are dead in trespasses and in sins, together with the whole human or Adam family, the whole race of our God. They're dead in trespasses and in sins. And they remain that way. There's nothing in the flesh of men, however wise the spirit of man may be in them, and yet if they are not given the Spirit of God, they can never see nor understand, don't know anything about it. You remember, I quoted a little of it there, and he said, what things knoweth a man, say the spirit of man that's in him. Natural things, the natural spirit of man. Without that natural spirit of man, you could not understand natural things. He said, likewise, no man knoweth the things of God, save the Spirit of God. Now that's what I'm trying to impress, my friends and brethren, tonight. And that is, until and unless we are born of the Spirit of God, unless we quicken to the knowledge of the truth of our being dead in trespasses and in sins, and have no strength, no power to redeem ourselves from all of our sins and our iniquities, until we are brought to that quickening, unto that understanding, unto that killing, we will never know just how we stand before God, nor just what we are. But God quickens us. You hath he quickened. Not some man, not some preacher, but you hath he quickened who were dead. The Apostle Paul says, you remember, I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived, I died. He was alive without the law. He was never condemned before that. He was a sinner, all right, yes. He was a condemned sinner, but he didn't know it. But when God sent forth, and it was God's Spirit came into his heart, he said, when the commandment came, the commandment, the holiness, the justice, the glory of the law was applied to him. And when that commandment came, why, sin just revived in him, and what he saw there killed him. And he killed him so dead that he fell down, you remember, at the feet of God, when the light came down from heaven, and a voice spoke. He said, who art thou, Lord? When the commandment came, sin revived and I died. The apostle, that is Saul, he barely thought that he knew God. He barely thought that he was doing God's service. He said so. He barely thought that he was commissioned to go into the various parts of the world, and known world in that day. And those who called upon the name of Jesus, who believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and who believed and confessed that he arose from the dead, the apostle, hating this doctrine as many hate it yet today, he felt that he was doing God's service to put it down, to put it down, to get rid of it. And as he was going in his journeys through the Acts of the Apostles, they said that these turned the whole world upside down simply because they preached Jesus and him crucified. And they didn't believe it. They didn't want to believe it. And they did everything that was humanly possible under the under the eternal will and the purpose of God to put it down, but it had no effect. And so, my friends and brethren, we would always remember, we should always remember, as God gives us grace, that we have nothing of the truth except what is revealed to us. Now, if we look back over the in profane history, we will find that in the absence of the grace of God, way back, all the way back as far as history will go, I suppose we might say, profane history, and we will find that in the absence of the grace of God, men have always formulated their own doctrines. They've always made their own, whatever we might call them, but the only word I can think of now is doctrine. And that doctrine is always based, notice, upon the works of men. All the philosophies, that's the word I'm trying to get at, all the philosophies of men are based upon the works of men. And all the works of the Spirit of our God, all the truth that God reveals, is based upon the grace of God unto poor sinners. So that we must preach, if we preach the truth, we must preach that salvation is by the grace of God. We must preach that there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so the Moses in his day was very, very particular that he made everything exactly according to the pattern. And it suited because God gave it to him. So my brethren, isn't it incumbent upon us that as God has delivered the truth to us, that we by his grace try not to turn away from the truth, try not to twist the truth as I've heard it twisted, but rather to speak plainly and contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Now it's a fact that there are thousands upon thousands of men who stand according to be preaching the gospel of the Son of God who are not preaching the gospel of the Son of God. I wonder how that what kind of conscience some people might have that would read that by the grace of God we are what we are, and that salvation is not by the works of the flesh, not by works of righteousness which we have done. He said, lest man should boast. How can men therefore stand in the face of dying people and tell them it's every bit up to you? It's all up to you. When I was a child, they told me in the Sunday school that Jesus came here to the world and he did everything he could and offered salvation, ending as he did upon the cross. And now it was all up to everybody or anybody that would to go. They said they had to go. It seems to me that they said they had to go to the foot of the cross and there receive or there accept what Jesus did. Well, you know, there's nothing in the scripture that teaches anything like that. And I feel that those who believe that, those who preach those things, are those who have never been killed, who've never been quickened, who have never learned or been taught that they are dead in trespasses and in sin. And therefore, feeling as they have that they themselves have come into the knowledge of the truth by their own works, their own studies, they will tell everybody else that they can do the same thing. I'm sure, I feel to say that I'm sure, that had I found in my seeking as I was given to seek as a young man, that I found that that in seeking I came across or I found the Lord, that I accepted him, and that my salvation came to me because I believed him and accepted him, I'll tell you, I'd be standing before you tonight preaching that very doctrine. And that's the reason, I must say, and be very plain about it, that is the reason that many people are preaching the doctrines of men, yes, the doctrines of men, and not the doctrines of the world, not the doctrines of God, because God has never taught them. Now, that is plain, but it is the truth, that God has never taught them. But my friends, I've told you many times, I'm not going over that because it's rather uncomfortable tonight. I want to be very brief. I know that had I learned and found Jesus, as I said, by my own works, I'd be preaching that. But I know that had it not been for the grace of God leading me and showing me what I was, bringing me down, I feel, friends and brethren, that I think I know something about what David meant when he said, I waited patiently upon the Lord. He inclined his ear to me. He heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Put my feet upon a rock. He established my going. Put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. The time was when I went before a church and he asked me if I believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I was surprised that I was asked that question of just a little fella. But I answered yes. I thought I must say yes. I'd heard the teacher and the preacher say that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. And I said yes. But at the very same time, and from that time on for a little while, I realized that I hadn't told the truth. I didn't know that Jesus was the Christ. I didn't know that he was the Son of God. But you know, my brethren, that very experience there, I feel, was the beginning of the work of God, the work of grace, and I'm not deceived, beginning of the work of grace in my heart. Because it was only a few, just a short time after that, until I began to see that I was not what I'd been pretending to be, what I'd been thinking I was. I found myself resolving to do better. And I would work my own way into the favor with God. But the more I tried, the worse I got. Until I was brought to fall down and to see myself as the most vile creature that God ever let live in the world. But it was while I was in that condition, my friends and brethren, begging God for mercy, and seeing no reason why that he should even look upon me with any mercy or pity or compassion. It was when that he spoke peace into my soul, into my very being. And I arose the next morning, realizing that there was a terrible weight that I'd been carrying around and been trying to get rid of, and I couldn't get rid of it, but now it was gone. But you know, I remember so well that as I was walking to school next morning, I said, now, I have something I can go before the brethren at Roanoke. It was in Roanoke Church we attended all those years. That I can go before the brethren now and tell them something of what the Lord has done for me. And I will not forget it. I'm sure I will not forget it as long as I have reason of mine. That something spoke into my very being and said, you better be careful, you may be mistaken. Now, I'm not saying, my brethren, that my hope and your hope, that there's something doubtful about it. There's something, my brethren, that is assuring about it. And at the same time, we go mourning, fearing, trembling, because we realize how unworthy we are of God's grace. And yet, if you haven't hoped, if you have the assurance that God is your God and Jesus is your Savior, that is something, my friends and brethren, that you cannot get rid of. You can't sell it. Men can't take it away from you. You can't steal it. Because I believe, as I quoted Sunday, that Peter said, you know, he hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Not a dead hope, but a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When we in our experience are shown that Jesus Christ is our Savior, it is a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we are given to see and to feel that Jesus is mine. Talking today, some of us were talking today, and I was wondering about the Jews, who the very ones who arrested and condemned Jesus and caused that he should be crucified. I was wondering if the trials and the tribulations and all the things that have been in the pathway of the Jews from that day to this and still continues. I was wondering whether it was because in God's eternal purpose that they were the ones that said, cried, crucify him, crucify him. But in my experience and in your experience, instead of putting that on somebody else, you will say and you will feel in your heart, he died because I'm the one. I'm the one who crucified him. I'm the sinner that he died to save. And so, my brethren, it makes us fear and tremble before our God, doesn't it? What we desire, as God gives us grace, we desire to declare what the Lord has done for me and what he's done for you. One said, you know, comes to a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Sure, he's the Christ. He told you all things of whatever I did. Whatever things that you were in your flesh, in your being dead in trespasses and sins, it was the Lord himself by the Spirit of our God that showed you all these things that you ever did in sin and condemnation, and then brings you to see that now he is your God and your Savior. Do you not remember, my friends, that hour, that day, that night, whenever it might have been with you? Do you not remember what a glorious and joyous time it was when you felt that the Lord had come to you and spoken peace in your heart? Do you not remember? I've heard it said, and I know what they were talking about. It seemed to me that morning when I walked to school, it seemed to me like that the grass was never greener. The trees seemed to be praising God, the birds in their voices raising praise to our God. It seemed to me what a wonderful, glorious thing it was that God should look down from heaven upon any poor sinner, much less upon one who is such a poor, wretched sinner as I was. So that's the way that all the Lord's people feel, and they rejoice in these things and are made exceedingly glad. So may God give us, my brethren, as I bring these few remarks to a close, may God give us grace that we may be mindful of the things that God has delivered unto us, the doctrine of God our Savior, and to contend earnestly for that faith which he has once delivered to the saints. I believe the Lord's people are discerners. I believe that if I should come here today and preach something to you that isn't in accord with your experience, isn't in accord with that spirit that you have received, the witness within, that you will immediately shake your head and say no. And I hope that in all the days of our lives, that as we listen to men who are preachers of the gospel, or men who pretend to be preaching the gospel, and not just receive just anything that they preach, but may God give us a discerning spirit, my brethren, to receive only those things for which we have thus saith the Lord. And if anybody speaks not according to this word, it's an evident fact that the truth is not in them. May God give you grace. I know it's uncomfortable. We have it very nicely here. The fan is blowing. But I know I've just scattered over. But I still would have you to remember that the things that we preach, the things that we believe, the things that give us so much joy and comfort, are the things that were revealed in our poor hearts. And without this revelation, I'm satisfied, had there not been a revelation in our hearts and given the love of the Spirit, that not a single one of us would be here tonight. Because when you came, you expected to hear something about what the Lord has done for you, and not something about what the Lord wants you to do, but rather what he has done for you, whereof he has made you glad. So may God be with you. I want to say that we have so very much enjoyed our visit among all the brethren and all the friends, everybody, without exception, has been so wonderful, so nice. And we felt the love of God, the fellowship, and the love of our God. And may God be with you. May he continue to be with you and give each one of you all necessary grace both while you live in this world and in that hour, in that time, in which you shall come unto the hour of death. And then God will be with you then, so you won't be afraid. May he be with you all the way through, because he said, lo, I am with thee all the way, even unto the end of the world. If you'll turn to page 168, last hymn on that page, we will sing that and then be dismissed. The hymn says, now to thy praise, eternal King, be all my thoughts employed, while of his precious truth I sing, cast down but not destroyed. Off the united powers of hell my soul have sore annoyed, and yet I live this truth to tell, cast down, but not destroyed. In all the paths through which I pass, what mercies I've enjoyed. And this shall be my song at last, cast down, but not destroyed. When I in heaven with God appear, there shall I him adore. Destroyed shall be my sin and fear, and I cast down no more. Let us stand and sing.
Cast down.
Apostle who is able to keep you from falling, present you, Father, before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and honor, majesty and might, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.